Today is 26th of May. Ukrainian counterintelligence intercepted and recorded probably thousands of hours of conversations between the Russian invaders and their relatives who remained at home. Some of these conversations are posted on the internet, and listening to these conversations makes your hair stand on the end. One soldier, for example, tells his mother how exactly he prefers to torture civilian Ukrainians. The other one gets permission from his wife to rape Ukrainian women. The third one asks his family what to steal from the sized apartment in the first place. It would seem that nothing more wild than these conversations can be imagined, but it turns out it can be. Ukrainian counterintelligence agents also publish records of conversations between captured Russians and their parents, with knowledge of both parties, of course. This is where the real nightmare is. The prisoners say that they killed children and old people, that they destroyed entire cities, and their parents, their mothers and fathers, shouted them that this is how it should be, that Ukrainians should not be pitied, that they are ready to abandon their own sons if they start to repent of their crimes. In the mid-80s of the last century, when relations between the then Soviet Union and the West were beginning to improve, the performer Sting wrote a song with the words, "I hope the Russians love their children too." Almost 40 years later, it became clear that these hopes were not justified. Russians don't like other people's children or their own. Unfortunately, I know this not only from the recordings of the conversations between captured Russians and their parents. I experienced it firsthand. I was married to a Russian woman. She is the mother of my daughter, a person who, after divorce, put a three-year-old child out of an apartment and for years, really years, not only did not help in raising her in any way, but did not even see the baby. You know, some people complain that their parents didn't give them something. My daughter has every right to say that her mother not only did not give enough, but she took away from her a lot what she had the right to: an apartment, savings, and of course, maternal care. For many years, I thought it was a serious deviation from the norm. I was sure that a normal mother cannot expel a child from an apartment that was bought for this child. She cannot leave a baby without a penny. She cannot become an absolute stranger to the person she herself gave birth to. But the war shows that this is the norm, that in Russia there are crowds of similar mothers and fathers. Either Putin raised a whole country of heartless, greedy fools, or heartless, greedy fools pushed Putin forward as the most vile of them all. This war is not only a war between freedom and modern fascism. It is also a battle between those who love their children and are ready to sacrifice for them, and are ready to sacrifice everything for them, and those who are ready to give up their own son if he suddenly does not kill women and children and decides to surrender. Perhaps today's episode turned out to be more about me and about my feelings than about the war. But these feelings would not have become so aggravated if this war had not begun. If the country of the people who hate their own children would not send murderers to Ukraine, if this war and these killers had not separated me and my daughter for such a long time, then this episode would not have happened. So it is also about a war.